this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills.
Episode 73.
I had to
look down at my notes for a second. I was like, episode 73. Chrome Bills in the house, as always, the one and only K Chromazone, Steve Bills, and C's Mikes. Back at it again after a brief hiatus. I think this was a couple days longer than usual.
3 weeks.
It's been
Is it 3 weeks?
Has it been a fortnight?
It's definitely been a fortnight and then some.
I feel like we should bring that back. That'd be kind of actually that's the high school that all the different styles members went to
Fortnite.
Fortnite High.
Fortnite. It's all storytelling, baby. We were talking off air about The Affair. Chuck's into that shit.
Yeah, very good show. Highly recommended. I was saying Eric Overmeyer, who is was either a producer or director.
Friend of the show.
Or something. Friend of the show for The Wire, Treme, Homicide, bunch of shows, is behind on that. And our boy, who doesn't love McNulty?
He's inspirational.
Dominic West actually has a couple scenes in there that are very McNulty-esque. A lot of boozing, a lot of banging.
a lot of banging.
My girl's off to an earshot away, and she definitely smiled at that.
Let me ask you this: does he still have the accent? The accent always killed me on The Wire. I said, "Come on, B, you're in Baltimore." Yep. Like I could see if you were in like a place in Cali. It's like Los Angeles doesn't have an accent. It's like you're in Baltimore. Like they do have an accent. So you having a fucking Irish accent? Like I never got past that. Is that whack of me? Would House of Pain be mad at me for that?
I never noticed he had an accent in The Wire until I saw him in an interview.
Yeah.
Like saw him in an interview using his real voice, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This guy's British?
Yeah.
What's same, up with that? Same thing with Stringer Bell, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that one fucked me up a little bit. I lost a little respect for him, actually.
Really?
No, I'm just playing.
Okay, you didn't think...
All right, give me an honest answer. Where did you think Stringer Bell was from before? Like, if you had to guess, you could probably even put, like, a certain city in the U.S.
Oh. Where's Billy D. Williams from? I was going to go, where's Billy D. Williams
from? See, I could see him being from somewhere like Houston or, like, Portland.
Oregon. No.
I feel like
I was thinking Detroit.
Okay.
I was actually going D-Town in my head too.
Or D-Town. Chicago, maybe okay. Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Chirac.
Rougher than you expect.
Yeah, not whatever, I don't even know. Nottingham or something.
Speaking of something that wasn't rougher than expected, I actually got a dope interview with a friend of the show.
Who are you?
Chesky Ramos of Fake Four.
Chesky.
Sure.
Chuck, do you know how to pronounce it?
All right, well, here's the other thing.
No
on
idea.
His Wikipedia page, and I wonder if he knows this. It says his alias is Lil Feisty.
Wow.
I shit you
that's,
not.
That's true right there.
And it's the kind of thing I was like, you know, my man is feisty. Like, he's a very energetic person, and especially a performer. I was like, maybe.
Does he have any songs where he, like, tunes up the tune on his vocals and does, like, an alter ego?
Yeah. No, but well, the alter ego is
a little feisty.
Mm-hmm. He runs a really dope label called Fake Four. It was cool of him to give us time. We actually were both opening for Cage and a Baltimore soundstage. Big ups to Max Bent.
Who are you?
Big ups to Baltimore soundstage. Chesky,
for me Butch coming Dawson. And hanging out, man.
Yeah, good looking out.
Thanks,
you, Scott.
Sir.
Really appreciate it. What happened? Well, no, your daughter was sick. I was totally fine with that.
Last week was extremely difficult.
Okay.
Life got very real last week.
What happened?
Just working some mega hours, and then, my daughter had a fever.
Okay. Mega Hours.
Mega Hours.
Mega Hours and Daughter Fever.
Cole, I want to know your adult life, longest work week in hours you ever had to pull at the right, not rapping, but at the regular 9 to 5.
Well, there was the point where I was working at my day job and the bars.
Okay.
So okay. at one point, I worked like 7 days a week for about like 6 months with, you know, like a day off here and there.
Right.
But that was intense as shit. I mean, that was, it had to be like 75 hours a week between all three of them. So,
it's a lot.
So. But it was two or three? It was the bar and the other?
I was working at two bars at one point.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's right.
When you work at a bar, like, do you how much is your brain engaged and how much are you occupying space while you're there?
It depends where you're at. Like, my last night, I have not told this story at DC9. Like, oh, I got like an altercation. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But it was the kind of thing where I was like, well, you know, I'm surprised that it took this long because this is that kind of place. But I already knew that was going to be my last shift there.
Okay.
At Ice Company, I'd be surprised if there was a problem here. If they, you know, it could happen and it did happen. But when it did, I was like, really? Like, you motherfuckers? You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So. But you put enough alcohol in anybody.
They're going to fight something. Yeah, they're fighting something.
A brick wall. I mean, a fight that they cannot win.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I remember drinking a bunch of tequila and coming out and putting my foot through a newspaper stand once.
Are you kidding me?
I was a young guy, but yeah.
Wow. How young?
Wow.
All right, Chuck, let's guess. I want to take between 18 and 21.
No, I mean, I was...
Any older than that, it's inexcusable.
I was up drinking age. Okay. I was probably 22 or something.
Okay, yeah.
See, I was definitely going under 25 strong.
And I probably fell over after I kicked it. I probably fell over after I kicked the thing.
Steve kicks a newsstand.
Oh, the
Steve
times
loses respect for Stringer Bell, and Steve kicks a newsstand.
Oh. When I saw Steve drunk getting injured, it was because he walked into a fire hydrant.
Oh, dude, that was bad.
And you banged the shit out of your knee, right?
Or oh, dude, I did a full-on knee to the valve of a fire hydrant.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, what's up?
Immediately before you felt that impact.
Yeah.
On a scale of like 0 to 10.
I was feeling great.
Okay, how good?
I was feeling really good.
Like 8?
Yeah, we were having a good time.
And then and then a 9 maybe?
I took it down to like a 6.
Oh, that's with banging your shin like that?
That was my kneecap.
Your kneecap.
Yeah, it was bad. That was bad for like a week. I had a nice knot.
It was a wee cap. That's how it caught you.
So Chessy? I apologize for not knowing how to pronounce
Chesky.
Your name.
His name is Chesky.
Chesky. Shout out to you for the interview. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Who are you? I would say one of the strengths of the Chrome Bills podcast is that there's music that one of the three of us will listen to that the other two has no fucking clue about.
And I think, Peyton Locke, when you put a song to him, I was like, yo, this dude's dope.
Yeah.
And I think that Chesky's probably fallen into that. For me, I don't know if Steve did a little research before, but I'm excited to hear the interview and excited to get into some music. Cole, you mentioned Fake Four. Is there anyone else on that label that you want to shout out?
I know Sadistic has worked with
them.
Okay, he'd be the main act. Chesky or Chessy or John Stamos.
Lil Feisty.
They're from where geographically?
Connecticut.
Okay.
John Ramos. Remember that dude?
Who's Party John Ramos?
How can you forget Party John?
Chuck knows what I'm talking about. Chuck got hype.
Party John.
You know who didn't get hype? Fucking Wizards fans. That dude was like 7'2", like hella coordinated.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, how are you? I get that like you're so tall you have to play basketball, but you're not coordinated. I was like, you're obviously coordinated. How are you so bad at this?
Where did he play?
In the year like 2000.
I think he came out of, because he played for like Cuba in the World Games.
That's what I was going to say. In the year 2000. The U.S. actually lost to Puerto Rico,
and they're like
in the Pan American Games.
Yeah,
yeah, and they were like, "Oh!" And two guys off that team got drafted the following year. It was Carlos Arroyo, who was like a shaved head point guard, kind of looked like Pitbull. They actually carved out like a nice little niche in the
Jason
league.
Jason Williams wishes he had that dude's career. You know what I mean?
Like Arroyo was legit. I think he might have been the backup point guard on the Pistons team that won the title that beat the Lakers in 5 games.
That sounds right.
And then Party John was the other one. Party John Ramos, drafted by the Wizards in the second round. The guy looked like a steal because everyone had seen him have 25 points against, you know, like Tim Duncan and Amari Stoudemire, whoever the fuck was guarding him. And then I think he ended up having like 18 points in his career.
Oh.
I mean, it just goes to show you, too, like how
Wizards are good at scouting talent.
Well, there's that. But you need, in life, in order to be a successful person at what you do, you need a comfort zone. And I could see that dude being like, dude, like, I smoke joints down here. Like, I drink rum at night. Like, it's not that big a fucking deal. Then you go to the NBA, and everybody's just like, eat this chicken and asparagus. You know what I mean? Like, and if you do fuck up, like, people are all over you. I bet he was just, man, this shit ain't for me.
Yeah, because they're like, if you don't rotate off of the high ball screen, you're getting benched.
Yeah.
He's like, what?
He's like, you guys, I put up 29. My man scores 36 every time. Like, I'm not going to not dissuade you from that fact, but I know at myself as Party John Ramos, like, this is a two-way street.
What's
you know
he doing?
What I mean?
What's he doing now, you think?
Listening to Chrome Bills. He's actually this week's sound engineer.
Who are you?
Sign him to a record contract.
We should. Yeah. Different styles.
Chrome Bills records.
Put them together with a little feisty. You got big.
The style is different.
That was so loud. That was like the loudest shit I ever heard.
Are you going to take that out in the mix? Styles. You should let the listeners bleed with us on that one.
Let them live.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to get sued. Actually, if you, instead of taking money from us, you wanted to give us money, we ask that you donate in a denomination of United States cents, preferably pennies. In the denomination of each episode or the number of it. So if you wanted to send 73 cents via PayPal, go to chromebills@gmail.com. Let us know what you think.
Well played.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bring it all back.
If you want to,
I feel like this gag is getting a little old because it started as like there's an episode. If you go back, it's called.
I don't feel
insultingly.
Like it's.
I don't know the password.
I don't feel like it's a gag.
It's like a. It's like a
insultingly
Nigerian
low
Prince's
amounts
nightmare.
Of money. That was definitely how it started. Was a gag called insultingly low amounts of money,
okay.
And now it's just become. One of like the, you know, Cole has like the five things that he'll just go to when he's on a roll. He'll be like, all episodes are available on iTunes and SoundCloud. And rate us and comment, please. And please send the denomination of the money. And don't forget 612-888-DIFF. And not to mention, you can hit us up at chromebills@gmail.com. And shout out to friend of the show, Bills Chrome.
Well played.
It's Chrome Bills at your door.
Don't hit the iced tea one.
Okay.
Because that's going to come in very hot.
I'll tell you, his style, volume wise, his style was different. You know what I mean?
Lots of different words. Lots of different styles.
All right, so I think the listeners can probably tell because, Steve, I definitely hear it. It's like earthquaking in my...
Oh, the chewing.
Well, here's the thing. Don't stop.
I'm
doing it too.
It's done.
I was saying it about myself too.
Yeah.
Well, because you went with a whole piece though. And I want to ask the Chrome billionaires
out there.
Nobody
eats half a piece of gum.
I do.
Nobody
and everybody I've told about it, watch in the week, you'll be doing it.
Dude, that thing should have been twice as large.
Hey, yo. Is this a new bit called What You Chewing?
What You Chewing. But that's the other thing. This gum is like, there's been times where I've given it to people. I'm like, careful, it's strong. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then, you know, like someone who has a shot of tequila for the first time, like the face they make.
Yeah.
Like they'll make that about this gum. I was like, I tried to tell you. You think I was fucking lying to you?
I didn't think it was that strong.
Okay. Oh, really?
I'm dealing
You're
with
You're just making me look. I'm a gum bitch right now.
You're kind of a gum bitch.
A dumb bitch, some bitch, gum bitch. Chesky.
Let's give a shout out to Chesky and everybody go out and support his music.
I actually gave you the 12-inch of Chesky's.
Hey, you.
Do you have the record?
It's right there.
The One Man Band Broke Up. I'm a little faded. I had a hard time saying that one. I haven't slept in like 2 days.
You haven't?
Been busy. It's been a busy weekend.
What?
I did so much shit over the weekend.
Mushrooms?
Yeah, right. There's no way you didn't sit there and watch 8 hours of football. And
right. Well, I counted that as something. But then yesterday I went to Target. Like, I went to the movie theater. It was fucking crazy.
You definitely slept.
Oh, you were off work all Monday, right?
You have not slept.
No. I've been too hyped.
Really?
I was
from going to Target?
I was like, God, there's so much. I just kept going back to Target. I was like on a circuit breaker loop.
They have a lot of good shit at Target.
And it's, well, here's they have everything. Every time I go.
Is that where Chuck's Atari shirt is from?
Okay.
It was. But I was doing, I was more doing a touch your chest.
Oh, he's doing a touch your chest.
They have everything at Target.
Yeah.
Yo, didn't I tell you? I've been at Target like 3 times this weekend.
For anyone that doesn't know, if you want something to sound or feel really serious, just touch your chest while you
touch
say
your
it.
Chest a little bit.
Touch your chest,
dude. I told
emphasis.
You only eat half a piece of gum.
I told you I only need half a piece.
I'm gonna be honest with you, and I just want to say this: this gum's not as strong as you made it out to be.
Wrong.
And you can kind of hear the like the. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're emphasizing. Some people are notarizing. Some people are philosophizing. All right. Emphasizing.
Let's hit this interview up real quick.
All right, Chesky. Thank you for taking time out to talk to us today.
Definitely. Sorry, I can't pronounce your name, brother.
Who are you? What's up, Chrome Billionaires? This is C's Mikes. I'm here with Chesky, and you're going to know him from Fake Four, which is the indie label that he started, still runs. He's on tour right now with Cage. For the one or two people on the planet who aren't familiar with you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing here tonight?
I'm just here on tour, playing guitar and rapping, and about to put out a new album in March. So I'm going hard this year.
Are you performing material from the new record tonight?
I'll do a few songs.
Okay.
Mixed variety of whatever I've done
over the years. Now, so the main thing I remember hearing your name thrown about was, A, just how talented you are in a lot of different ways, between singing, rapping, all that different stuff. And then you also started Fake Four with your brother.
Yes.
And so what was the impetus of wanting to create your own label? And I think it was like 2008?
Yeah.
Okay.
2008.
What was the story behind that?
Well, my brother and I were in a band called Toca with Cholo Lancinco, who was a member of the group called Of Mexican Descent with Tumex, and Tommy V. And we had this band that was something like an eclectic rock band with hip-hop influences and jazz influences and Latin, whatever, big hodgepodge of genres. And we were picked up by this label that was run by Snoop Dogg's management team.
Okay.
And it took years and years to develop this album. And eventually, in 2007, we released this album with a label that was formed by Snoop Dogg's team, pretty much. His managers, his in-house PR, whatever.
Right.
Whatever they all worked for him. Right. And they were really difficult to work with.
Okay.
And eventually, months after the release, we actually broke up.
Okay.
But that experience made me just want to do everything on my own.
Now, when you say difficult, is it they were giving you too much direction, trying to exert too much control?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of I remember one time specifically, we were listening to mixes of the album, and it was this pretty much like an indie rock song that we had, and I went into the label head's Escalade to listen to this mix, and I was like, you're trying to master. They were like taking rough mixes and trying to master them without me approving them.
Okay.
And without the band approving them.
Yeah.
And this one particular song, he played me a version with the vocals way louder. And I was like, that's just not the style it's supposed to be. The vocals are supposed to be more in the mix.
Right.
That's just kind of how I want it to sound. And he's like, well, Dre thinks the vocals should be louder.
Right.
He's like throwing around Dr. Dre name and it was just like bullshit. Like, we had all the bios and stuff were super corny. This Latin quartet came together in a basement in Los Angeles.
Right.
And it's just like, it made it sound like a boy band or some shit.
Well, it's interesting because as I've gone back and listened to your discography over the last couple of days, it's obvious in your writing and then the delivery, and you can just hear it in your voice and your spirit, that sincerity is very important to you. And it sounds like that process was way too insincere for you. And it's good to see that you were able to branch. Is that what sort of led you to branch out and start Fake Four?
Yeah, I just wanted to be... start an artist-friendly label where, anyone on the label could do what they felt, really, and we wouldn't hold them back that much. It was originally meant for my small, immediate family of musicians, including all my bandmates and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, they were. That's all I care about, really. When I respect artists who are just honest, sincere, and put themselves out there in a way that is not too feigned or edited too much or not too. I don't know. I'm not really super interested in personas or I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, that's the thing that's impressed me about your music, the artists that you've chosen to put out, like Sadistic. It's very personable music, very honest. And so are you happy with the direction that things have gone since you started Fake Four?
Yeah, I mean, it's grown a lot more than I ever thought it would. It's a difficult industry, as you know. It's like, you know, I started a label at a time when it was probably the worst idea ever to start a label.
Yeah.
Everyone was pretty much like, okay, that's going to fail.
Why do you say that? Because of the direction music was going as a whole or independently?
I think especially independent labels, but music as a whole just stopped selling that much. And there was I felt like stuff was still selling more in indie hip hop before, I want to say 2005. Mm-hmm. There was even 2006, there was it just seemed like a lot more was going on. Sales were still higher.
Yeah.
Physical sales were higher.
Yeah.
Then the shift to almost all digital happened really around the years 2007, 2008.
I've always felt like sort of the demarcation point for me was Depart for me. You know, when they were playing with Kate tonight. Uh-huh. I mean, I absolutely love that record, and I felt like everything that Def Jux put into it, and it just the timing of it was, that's when people were like, I'm not paying for anything ever again. But the thing I noticed was, so we did a show in D.C. I mean, he brought, it had to be like 200 people at DC9.
Uh-huh.
And our listeners will know that venue is the place. It's right on 9th Street, about a 200 cap. It was packed. And then he came back probably 3 or 4 months later at Rock and Roll Hotel, and it wasn't nearly as many people. And I remember just seeing like album sales sort of plummet for everybody. And I've always thought, I can't remember exactly what year that was, but around the time that you're talking about. So what do you do to try and navigate through that?
Well, it's more about finding, for us, it's, you know, we understand the limitations of what we're doing.
Right.
But for us, it's trying to find the cult following and trying to reach the people who already really love this music and want to support it. It's not necessarily about reaching a huge critical mass. I mean, whatever, you know, it's more about, you know, building that niche and that super supportive small fan base for us.
See, it's funny you say that, because I feel like when you said, you know, people might have thought this isn't the best time to start a label, and you've always struck me as the kind of guy that it wasn't, you're not going for the en masse thing. You want to just do what works best for you and the people around you and maximize that.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's dope. And so what projects do you have coming up in the next, you said you have an album coming out in March?
Broken Bone Ballads comes out, and well, the official date is going to be April 2nd, I believe, because of the distributor. But that is my first album in 5 years.
I was going to say, so you've got, this would be your fourth full-length album?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, most people don't know about the first one, so that's cool.
Well, you also had the one that, I noticed, how do you feel about Spotify? Because one thing I found invaluable when I'm doing interviews is I can go back and sort of go through everybody's stuff.
It's, you know, I don't think it pays fairly, but it's like,
yeah, you're not Taylor Swift in it.
I'm not hating on it either.
Yeah.
I think it's great that people can find the music.
Yeah.
However they need to find it. I think if people listen to it and really enjoy it, a lot of times they end up buying it still.
Right.
You know,
right.
I see the support in a different way. They'll come to the show, they'll buy a hoodie, they buy some merch, you know.
Right.
It happened last night, in fact. Somebody was like, hey, I've listened to you for free for so long. I've stolen all your albums, and here I'm gonna give you $100 right now.
That's Well, so let's tell the people where you were listening, where you were playing last night. You said you were in New York, and then before that.
Oh, last night we were in New York at a place called St. Vitus, which was a really cool venue. That was in Brooklyn, and the night before was my hometown, New Haven.
Okay.
Cafe 9.
Okay, and you crushed it up there, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
The stage diving and shit.
Yeah.
I didn't stage dive. I'll crush people's bodies.
One of the things I wanted to ask about, and I didn't know how deep you wanted to get into this, but in terms of one of the reasons maybe that for the 5 years in between albums, when you got the whole situation with, I don't know how much of the details you're even allowed to talk to. But, so just for, you know, to lay the groundwork for our listeners that weren't aware, somebody mailed, no, okay, so I already got it wrong.
Yeah.
So what happened?
In 2010, I was arrested. Somebody drove with 100 pounds of marijuana in their car, got arrested in Illinois, and pinned the entire amount on me.
Okay.
Because I was an acquaintance through another friend of mine. And basically, they ratted me out.
And you had no involvement in it?
No, I mean, I knew this guy. I had no involvement, really. It was completely, basically, I had no idea this dude was going to show up at my house. I had met him before. Yeah. I'd been involved with him before. And quite honestly, I had been in the business.
Yeah.
But not on that level. Mm-hmm. And I know he was dealing with a lot of people.
Okay.
And basically, because he didn't know me very well, he pinned the entire amount on me. He got arrested driving in Illinois. They drove all the way from Illinois. With him.
When you say police, they, the arresting officers, to Connecticut.
The arresting officers from Illinois, they drove all the way to Connecticut, met up with Connecticut State Police, Drug Task Force, and next thing I knew, you know, I can give you all the details, but next thing I knew, 10 undercovers were putting guns to my head in the snow.
Jesus.
And threatening my family. I eventually gave them some forced confession.
Yeah.
I demanded to speak to an attorney time and time again, and they didn't listen to me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was that on, like, were they, I guess, I'm assuming they weren't recording.
They weren't recording anything.
Okay.
It's, you know, their word.
Good thing I am. I'll give you a lawyer if you ask for one.
It's their word against mine.
That's terrible, man.
Eventually, went through almost 3 years of court dates and ended up serving 4 months in prison.
Jesus. How was, it's sort of a silly question. How was that experience?
That experience, I don't want to speak like it was something fun.
Right.
Or something that I ever wanted or deserved. I still don't think I deserved it. Absolutely. But I kind of needed it in a weird way.
Okay.
Because I needed something to slow down my life. I was just like touring heavy and kind of just living super fast in a lot of ways. Like,
yeah.
Just not paying attention to the world around me very much.
Yeah.
And what that does, it forces meditation. It, you know, forces you to think about your life and your surroundings and what the fuck you're doing. And so I took good things out of it, even though it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to, it's like, would you want 100 roommates?
Right.
Even in a nice house.
Right.
Would you really want 100 roommates? Right. Nah, you don't want that. Especially violent ones.
Yeah.
Who are like, you know, ready to fight at any moment.
Yeah.
And then all these cops and COs around that are just absolute dicks almost all the time.
Well, so when you went in, how much time do you think you'd have to serve?
Oh, I thought I was going to serve 9 months because I got an 18-month sentence.
Okay.
And in Connecticut, I don't know how it is in every other state, but in Connecticut, nonviolent offenses, you're almost guaranteed to do half the time.
Okay.
So I did take a plea bargain eventually to do an 18-month sentence. And I thought I'd do 9. I got off earlier because there was a program called transitional placement where they put me in a house, sort of almost like a rehab type house, where we'd go to NA meetings. And
was it a halfway house?
It was almost like a halfway house, but it was actually considered a level 1 jail kind of, but it wasn't a jail. It was like, I don't know, half of it was actually a homeless shelter.
Okay.
And they paid for the homeless shelter with all the income from the inmates.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, well, that, I mean, you know, there's the Bomb the Suburbs guy who wrote No More Prisons.
Yeah, I read that actually in prison.
Right, well, so what did you, being, that's so interesting, being in the environment that he was describing as being so manipulated and nefarious, did you feel like it tied into your experience?
I thought about it a lot. Okay. I was very aware of what was going on. And yeah, you know, I'm very aware of the prison industrial complex and how money was being made, how free labor, you know, prison labor was being used.
Yeah.
I actually got a job.
What were you doing?
I was doing, I barely really did anything, but I was doing outside cleaning work.
Okay.
Around the grounds. They wouldn't allow me to actually leave grounds.
Okay.
Because of my case was too noticed or something like that.
Well, so
I was too noticeable. I don't know.
There was, along those lines, there was at one point a Kickstarter, like a GoFundMe?
It was an Indiegogo.
Yeah, Indiegogo. Yeah. And it was, I mean, it was very uplifting to see the independent rap community sort of gather around that cause. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, like the day I went into my final court date where I knew I was going to turn myself in, mm-hmm. I finished a video and I put up this Indiegogo campaign kind of because I had no more, you know, I had nothing... No more resorts, you know. I had nothing left to do to save my label. And the label was... We just didn't have the money to release the next three, four records that we had planned. And I just didn't want to let anyone down. So I ended up putting up this campaign asking fans to donate, pretty much. And, you know, we had a lot of cool... prizes put together and stuff, or prizes, whatever you want to call it,
right,
put together for it. But so I put it online right directly.
So that was before you went in.
I put it online an hour before I went in.
Holy shit. Okay.
And the first 3 days of being in jail, I had no communication with anyone in my family. On the fourth day I finally got a hold of my brother, and he told me that it had raised $27,000.
Wow!
And I had originally asked for 15.
Right.
So, and that was a stretch for me. I was like, oh, I don't want to ask for that.
Right.
Even though I needed way more.
Right.
To keep the label going, but.
Now, is your brother still pretty involved in the day-to-day operations of the label?
No. When I got out, he kind of just stopped.
So was he running it while you were in?
Yeah, okay. He was doing a lot while I was in. A lot. Now he's a caretaker for my grandfather, who's 101 years old.
Okay.
About to be 102 in February.
Young buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he takes care of him, and yeah, that's his main job.
So you got out when?
I got out a year ago, actually, right before Christmas.
And you mentioned when you were in there, the meditation and sort of clearing your head. Since you've been out, have you been able to implement some of the ideas that you came up with while you were in?
Yeah, I mean, I started exercising there, you know, doing push-ups and stuff, what you do when you're bored in prison.
Right.
But I kept that up all right, and I don't know. I've just learned to slow down a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm great. The world is just very fast, and there's so much information coming at us all the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to weed through it, and it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to kind of find your place sometimes, but I think I'm definitely more level-headed right now.
That's dope.
Yeah, I mean, it did something for me. It probably wasn't because of how the system is set up. More about how I wanted to make it work for myself.
Right, right.
And the people I met in there, a lot of the prisoners I met, they kind of, you know, helped me find some direction as well. It gave me a lot of, you know, being behind there, not being able to play music, not being able to see the people I love, spend time with the people I love, it made me really, really appreciate what I had, mm-hmm. So... I got out and made a lot of music and
you know, started, when eventually they started letting me play shows again, I played a lot of shows, and now, this year, I think people are finally going to be able to see what I was working on.
Dope. So. And along those lines, you've got, where can people get your material?
You can get it, well, fake4inc.com is my record label. You can get stuff on iTunes or whatever you like, Amazon.
Where do you get the most money from? From fake4inc.com?
I mean, I like Bandcamp, it's cool.
Okay.
Fake4.bandcamp.com or chesky.bandcamp.com. Whatever though. I mean, well, any way you find the music, you know.
Just give you $100 10 years from now after stealing it.
Yeah, you can steal it. just listen to it and come to shows.
Well, one of my favorite things about listening to your entire discography is how collaborative you are. I mean, stuff with Micah 9, with AWOL, with Icon the Mic King.
Yeah.
And it seems like with Soul, it seems like you've worked with a lot of people. Does that, do you sort of reach out for that, or does that just happen organically?
Oh, yeah, that's all happened pretty organically. I've toured with all the people you mentioned. I've known them for a long time. Icon the Mic King, for instance, I went to high school with
right.
him. And
shout out to Icon.
He's one of my best friends and one of my oldest friends. And yeah, he actually helped me out last night. We played a couple songs last night in Brooklyn together. I've known all those people you've mentioned for years, you know.
Yeah.
I met Soul when I was 18.
Okay.
I met AWOL probably shortly after that, like when I was like 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
Through just back then, it was like we'd bring around an 8-track and have our band instrumentals, and we'd be like, "Hey, you guys should rap on this stuff."
Right.
And we'd like, you know, take buses to people's houses on the West Coast.
Right.
Mainly, and.
And just recorded on the 8-track.
Just record them, yeah.
That's solid.
And it was just sort of the, you know, it was a different time. There was no really, we didn't really send files to each other back then or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
I think the files would have been too big, maybe.
Yeah.
Never, I don't remember dealing with that ever back then, but I'm talking like 1999.
Right.
2000, right. 2000.
Pre-mega upload.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre all that. So, yeah, we'd just go around and record, and that's kind of how the collaborative stuff started. It was really
dope.
Fun.
Well, listen, for anybody out there, you know, who's not familiar with this stuff, I definitely couldn't recommend it more. I've always been a big fan. The last 2 days, knowing that I was going to get a chance to talk to you tonight, has been a great refresher course, going back and listening to the discography. I can't wait to see you perform tonight. Where are you guys going to be over the next week or so?
We're going to be in Syracuse and Buffalo, and I'm going to go to Ithaca, and Cage is going to Toronto. But then I'm doing a whole another tour down to Florida, so.
Okay. And All that information's on fake4inc.com as well.
Yeah, so on my Facebook, Chesky Ramos, CESCHIRAMOS.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, man. Go sound check. Rock the shit out tonight, right, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Peace.
Coming back.
It's the big comeback.
Coming back.
Episode 73.
Dude, that was a crazy story right there.
Yeah, I told you.
Wow. You got him to open up to you a little bit.
You know, I'll say this, man. Every time I've done an interview, you can hear the interviews with people like Slug of Atmosphere, Sage Francis, Edon, DJ Cam 1.
Stuff I left off the list.
We did, you know, Hickey, Big Slob. We did have Jesus in that episode. Yeah.
Little Feisty.
Little Feisty. Little Feisty actually knocked Jesus out.
Little Paper Cut was on.
Little Lemonade. And then his DJ Stand.
Little Licorice Stick.
So, but yeah, I feel like...
Little Cheeses. Don't leave Little Cheeses off.
Oh, Little Cheeses.
For the other interviews, Chuck always makes the point where he's like, Cole, you're good at doing interviews. I really enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
I feel like knowing that I'm getting it for... Try to ask questions that you two guys would ask, and then some off-the-wall shit.
Do you ever watch Nardwar interviews?
Yes.
And do you think you could step to him?
No.
You don't?
No.
Do you feel like he's got a team of people doing
like
research?
You know what's ill about him? He's Carrot Top that's not whack.
Oh.
Like, Carrot Top was like, okay,
well,
like,
done.
You have shtick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Your shtick is dope, but you suck at it. It's like the dude, who's it, Jeff Durham or Dunham that has, like, the puppets?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're not funny. I fuck with your shtick, but that's where I'm like, all right, like, I'm kind of fucking with this stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not going to take it to that dude's level. Not yet.
Cole, you do know Carrot Top would beat the shit out of any of the three of us.
Oh, yeah. But then if you could just pop one of his back knee pimples, he'd have to lay in the corner.
Whoa.
That, you know what? I mean, that's what happens. I'm comparing Carrot Top to who?
How many times has a rapper said, I'm getting props like Carrot Top?
Not enough.
How many times does that happen?
That's not enough, actually. Not enough. To get props like Carrot Top.
That's got
to
be, right?
Who would? Well, here's
the
ill part.
What's the next line?
He doesn't get props. All he does is get crowned.
He retrieves props.
Because he beats him out of people.
Actually, the more appropriate thing would be I'm holding props.
Why?
Because that's what he does. He holds up props.
Like
instead
prop
of getting
who
props,
got the props?
Like who's got the props?
Blacktop. That's the remix.
That was like the
instead
the Beatnuts were just roadies
Carrot
for
it's Blacktop.
What is it?
They were just roadies for Gallagher, the Beatnuts, and he'd be like, "Who's got the props?"
Okay,
I forgot. Beatnuts had a song called.
Oh no! That, yeah, props
you
over
get
here.
Props
no, that,
over
oh,
here.
Props over here.
Yeah,
and
it's
Black
a pair
Moon
of bunny,
had,
or, bunny ears.
What are some other prop songs? Songs about getting props.
So that's what happened. So Gallagher goes, "Who's got the props?" And Black Moon just looks all confused. And then the Beatnuts come in. They're like, "We got props over here."
Okay. Yeah.
Solid
conversation.
I like it.
Conversational.
Speaking of, actually, I should go into this very quickly. So I went to the 20th anniversary of The Shining, a very classic rap
okay.
album.
Okay.
It's a Smith & Wesson concert at SOB's, which is in, I guess, like lower Manhattan somewhere.
Yep.
Tribeca, West Village, whatever. And I'd never been to SOB's. I always remember it from the De La Soul interlude on Stakes Is High.
He said
when
Club Essos.
Like Club Essos. And they argue that this sounds like such a Cole argument, like where someone just will refuse that they're wrong, no shot fired there. But he goes, he's like, I thought people call them Essos for short. Like, okay. Sometimes people do call SOB's Essos. Have you ever abbreviated calling someone an SOB as an SO?
How many times have you called somebody an SO, SOB in the first place?
But what,
as an insult.
And at what point are you just like, he's an S? You know, like,
yes.
You got to say it. You got to say enough of it.
Dude, if somebody called me a son of a bitch, I'd be like, wow, like, good, nice pull, like, nice insult, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
That's a throwback insult, you yeah. know?
It's like seeing an old dude smack a kid, but the kid deserved it. You know what I mean? It's like that kind
of
old
you
school.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You could say,
goddamn,
by
you
doing
goddamn
so,
S-O.
For me, you're getting props like Carrot Top.
So, Chuck, who's DJing the show?
All right, so DJing the show, you've got the Beat Miners.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Guest appearances start rolling out. Predictably, I got into the... Actually, here was the thing. I got to the show. It was starting at 9 o'clock. There was like 150 people in line. So I was like, all right. It was about 9:30 at this time. I was like, look, rap shows never start on time. It's cold as shit out. They're not going to go on stage with like 150 people outside. I actually saw Tech and Steel get dropped off in like a Uber black car and skip the line to go in. So I'm like, there's no way they're going on right now.
Yeah.
So I just went across the street and figured I'd like keep an eye on the line and go in. So when I got in at that point, when I finally got over there, there were maybe like one song in, and Drew Ha and Rock from Helter Skelter were like hanging out on stage as well. So predictably, there was some Helter Skelter stuff. They did Operation Lockdown. There was Black Moon. Well, Buckshot showed up. They did a couple Black Moon joints. There's some early Black Moon, Smith & Wesson stuff that they went into. The Smith & Wesson songs were mostly off of The Shining. Occasional sprinkle in here or there from some good stuff. When the guests started getting surprising at about the level of when MOP came out of the crowd.
What?
And just went into Annie Up.
Whoa. Who are you?
Which,
that's
I mean,
crazy.
I'm not going to say at any point in the show I really like felt threatened. But the emphasis of that song where it literally starts and it's like, take chains off, take rings off. I was like, yo, is this,
is this
when it all
go
goes
down? Are
we going
to get robbed?
Like, and I had just listened to the Redman album earlier in the day where he's like on the subway and he's like, this is a motherfucking stick up. Put your motherfucking
damn, he got a big
old gun. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, yo, is this how like Smith & Wesson celebrates 20 years? Is they actually just rob their fans at SOBs in New York City? That would be amazing.
They pay MOP like 25%.
Dude.
Royal Flush came out, okay. Did not perform. It was kind of disappointing, but came out on stage. And then Tony Touch came up, and I forgot they had that joint called Spanish Harlem.
Okay.
Which is on the second album.
No shots, but dude, do you think somebody should have told him like Royal Flush is like maybe not the name to run with?
Do we have a toilet that was
the,
on here?
I thought that was the plumber. Didn't you on one of the early episodes have like the Royal Flush Plumbing Company?
Yeah, definitely. Like,
okay.
Can you not flush your ice down? Is your toilet beginning to look like a medallion? Call Royal Flush. Because cleaning your toilet is what's it all about.
So who came after Royal Flush?
I think that was it.
Okay.
That's pretty much the all-encompassing list. But, I mean, it was nice. It was nice for
Flush. He never works.
All right.
Good shit, though. Poppin' factor, man.
That's dope. So how was, what did you think of the execution of the Shining material? Because we actually talked about that on a previous episode.
I want to know how the stage show went down. Was it just somebody playing the music and them rapping over top of beats? Or was it choreographed?
I could have done it. You fucking sent me the instrumentals. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
How'd that go down?
Chuck, how many old school style chants did they have? It was like, almost here none. To rock the world.
Almost none. Okay. Oh, you know who came up actually was some dude that's just on the album that you'd only know if you were like really into The Shining. And he did the piece where he's like, I'm here to speak about PNC.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Partners in Crime guy came up. He needed that.
Yeah. Partners in Crime guy who's actually credited with like introducing the two of them.
I wonder if he's like always performs when they're in New York. Worldwide, we know for that.
Huh.
Like, you want to do your verse? Yeah.
Do your verse where your chant?
Yeah. Makes sense.
All those guys were still sharp. I will say this, like SOBs has amazing sound for rap shows. It was one of the best sonically sounding and mixed shows I'd ever been to. This is coming from someone that has gotten to the point where I just like rap shows just fucking bother me now because they're mixed terribly and they're boring. And people just get up and do songs. And it's like, all right, dude, like you're just gonna, this is just a one sided conversation. I don't know. Oh, like,
you know,
so to me, it's like,
you know, it's not going to be a boring performance. Us.
We are here
January
to
30th
show the world
at Velvet
just who
Lounge.
We are.
We are Chrome Bills
Shocking
January
MCs,
30th.
Because we are superstars. Heck it out.
Wow. We won't be performing that January 30th. It's a Friday.
Friday night.
Velvet Lounge. With
no excuses. With Carrot Top.
With Carrot Top.
DC Flow.
DC Flow. They're
Duncan,
a funk band.
Duncan Roth.
Duncan Roth.
Real stand-up guy.
Okay. Is he a stand-up comedian?
Yeah.
I fuck with that. I'm excited to see a comedian.
Yeah.
I think that's, if you're good at it, that's a lot of fun.
I hope he disses us.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
We definitely.
He's like, give it up for 50 Cent and LL Cool J over there.
Oh, I got a couple in the chamber for him. I'm just putting it out there in case he hears this.
Yeah.
Well, now that you know, but now that you mentioned it, like I'm gonna have a planned, like me rapping is better than you doing comedy. Retaliatory statement ready. You always got to show up armed, man. The worst thing is having weapons and not using them. You know, that's the worst thing that can happen. Being like, damn, I planned that joke to roast the comedian. He was actually a nice guy and said we were really dope and I didn't use it. And then the worst thing is you could joke about it with him afterwards and be like,
I'm going to diss him just before he even goes off.
Let's email him right now.
Your stand-up comedy makes me sick.
Yeah.
And you're not my underwear, so get off my dick.
Okay. That's actually pretty dope. You should email him right now.
I came up with that on the fly.
Hey. As you point to your crotch.
Hey.
As he pointed to his crotch. Steve, are you going to introduce any of the chants that we were talking about back and forth on email? Like, three, a two, one. We're Chrome Bills and here to have fun.
Okay.
Chuck was clowning me I deserve to be clowned. I kept on writing him these really cheesy chants that we were going to come out with. Mm. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Rapping like hell, but it sounds like heaven.
Okay.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's Chrome Bills. Come and have fun.
Okay.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Steve, this is what I told Steve when we were talking about it, and I think it's funny to get it out there. He has the most genuine and pure like hip hop intentions of what the show wants to be, and I know that like inside, like deep in his heart,
yeah,
he just wants people to be like, that was so invigorating to watch. But then it's just like watching the hamster run around in the brain to get there, where he's like, he's like, all right, so we already did the part where we tell him to get the hands up, so like this is the chant about moving your feet. Need you to move your feet
like,
to the hip hop beat
because
it sounds so sweet and it's rather unique. So say ho.
Okay, you were so excited too.
I was like, okay, here's the part where we tell everybody put their hands in the air and say yeah.
Okay,
that's not verbatim, but I was getting to that point.
But it gone, yeah, it was getting there.
But I'm gonna do that. Don't even worry about
okay.
it.
Okay,
I feel you know it works.
Yeah, fuck
people
it.
There to have a good time. There's gonna be a bar upstairs, a bar downstairs.
Yeah,
I'll be shit faced by like 8:30 p.m.
We're Chrome Bills.
Oh,
you're
performing drunk?
You know, I feel like every now and then, Chuck, do you have this where like once every now and then, like you really have fun rapping while you're drunk? Like I always have fun when I rap when I'm high, but like with drinking, I'm like, it's not always that tight.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it usually
Chuck is
happens
always drunk,
like
is what he was about to say.
Okay.
No, I actually probably like one of the few things that makes me, I'm like more responsible about drinking and doing a show than I am like drinking and driving. And I don't have a problem.
Oh,
I don't have a problem saying that because I don't even own a car now. But
that's
I used to be like, the show would end, and that's when I'd start pounding shots, but I'd still drive home. So, like,
like somebody give me my car keys. I'm going to put them in this shot and drink them.
But, you know, I remember this one show. It's tough to even call it a show because we were performing at a house party, but there were still, like, 40 people watching it.
Right.
Where just, like, blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Cole, you were there. It was like up in Damascus or somewhere like that.
I was thinking, I had like a jacket with fur on the hood. I was like, I don't
it
know.
It was cold
this is
as shit that
not.
Night, too.
Yeah. Somebody had given me a jacket. I wore it once. I was like, no, this ain't working for me. I'm not that dude. But I remember I was like, I was drinking a lot of Knob Creek at the time. There was a lot of Knob Creek happening at that point. So fucking, I do remember being out there and just being just completely obliterated.
Cole and I were doing dot 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 standing on a coffee table, and it was like sort of like the transition from my set to his or vice versa, and he had like a cup full of Knob Creek, and it was like full of Knob Creek on the rocks, and I do like this very aggressive hand gesture during my verse, and I just slap his drink like 15 feet off of the table into somewhere in the room where people weren't even really paying attention. And
that's
it just shattered
hilarious.
And
that's
just like
awesome.
Didn't even like barely even looked out of the corner of my eye and just kept running. And I was like, we keep the lesson plan moving like the second hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You caught fire.
You get into it, man.
But in my head, I was like, oh, that's not good. That's when you're in your face.
It's always funny with drinks. I feel like drinking is almost, you know what? Really, it kind of is. It's almost like driving. I'm like, yo, like. In the wrong hands, this could make a social situation really bad, really fast. Like a super sloppy drunk. Like nothing ruins a party quicker than like just one person really like overdoing it.
It's terrible.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then like enough people got to work up the nerve to be like,
you need
to get
a group unity on the progression of getting drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't have somebody just fucking the whole thing up.
Okay. Can you have somebody jumping ahead of everybody? But even if they can hold their shit.
Yeah, they're just going to get
not say no.
They're going to get isolated from the group.
Those
you know?
Okay. Because everyone's drunk and in their asleep in their own vomit and they're still out drinking.
They're just doing it.
I feel like that person would be fun. I feel like there's times where I could really just like I'm going to regret this.
Okay, here we go.
Where I could keep up with Chuck.
No, they
100%.
No?
100%.
I remember that that was the thing. The one night that I did, I paid for it the next day.
Yeah.
And he was okay. He wasn't pert, but he was like, oh, you know what? Like, that was like a body blow for
me. He gave you some respect.
I was like, uppercut.
The next day, he's like, welcome to the club, my man.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were talking about Cisco on last episode. Chuck, did you and I drink a lot when we lived together in college? Did you know that?
I don't think I really drank that much back then, to be honest. Like, I drank, but it wasn't.
Okay.
I was more into other things.
The craziest thing I've ever heard. I just assume you've been like this since you were like 12 or something.
No. I always knew Chuck as
a cigarette smoker.
As a midnight toker.
I'll say this though. I was like, you were the first people that you and Sebastian were the first people I saw that had like sapphire gin. I was like, I don't even know what the hell gin is.
Wow.
I think I was probably like 19 or 20. Right. I was like, I've seen it before. I've never had that shit.
Yeah. Gin's nasty.
Oh, that's right. You know what? We didn't even have a liquor cabinet, and I had one shelf in my bedroom closet that had a handle of sapphire gin on it, and I swear the day that thing would go empty, I would go get another handle. But that was like all I drank, and I probably drink. This is going to sound funny because I was actually saying it like it was a logical statement, but I was like, I probably drink more, way more now than I did then, which is like obviously. But I was like in college then, and now I'm a functioning adult. But what you chewing, man?
I'll give
you
respect.
Chewing?
I'll give you respect for that, though. I feel like gin, like. Mm-hmm. I eventually got to whiskey, but I was like 24, 25. Like before that, it was beer. Like to be at gin at like 20, 21.
Mm-mm. You just don't know any better.
No. I feel like that's where Chuck sort of like, that's where like he made his bones. Like, you know, like he's like a football player from Florida. Like all those
kids.
You're
only going to improve off of gin.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He started strong. Why did you pick gin?
I think it was a mistake. I mean, honestly, I think I probably just started, I'd just been like 20, just turned 21, and I feel like, you know, you need a drink, right? Like,
was it rap music?
Some movie that says that, that's like, you know, a man needs a joke and a man needs a drink. You know, like those are like the two things you need. You need two things that are like unique to you, or at least that people know. I got some jokes.
Do you have jokes? Do you have like a go-to joke at dinner parties and stuff?
I have a joke. Well, it's got to be the right dinner party because this shit's fucked up on like four different levels.
It's not like a dead baby joke or something, is it?
It's not quite in the dead baby, but like it's definitely all three religions are roasted in it. So it's got to be the right environment.
Right. Okay. Are you an atheist? Do you believe in God?
You do? Tell him to save you.
Yeah, I think I believe in a God.
Okay.
Oh, coming around. That's progress.
I think I believe in something higher, but not necessarily something that speaks English and likes the Cowboys or something, you know?
Right. We're God's team. Sure about that?
Yeah.
Chuck, where are you at with that? Are you good with God?
I'm probably close to what
he's
going to say.
He's going to say, get back on track.
Okay. Back on track.
I'm down to address it. I was actually going to ask the question, right? So. I know that Cole and I have had this discussion a lot about the sports overlap with God. And so, like, Russell Wilson, right, after the game on Sunday, Seattle came back. We can talk about the actual game in a little bit because that was one of the craziest finishes.
Definitely.
But he did the canned response, right, of, like, God is great. I just keep being put in these situations, which if you're living his life, it seems very possible for him to think that way. Alternatively, the guy that muffed the fumble recovery, like, or the onside kick recovery, unless he secretly had like raped his cousin that morning, it's kind of like doesn't really line in. Like, what if he's also a really good dude, and how all that ties together? But the one thing I've always thought about is the arts that are really backboned by creativity and spirituality, like music. And movies, when people receive accolades for them, they always thank God. I remember very seldom, if never, someone coming up and not gushing about some sort of higher power. While at the same time, it's rarely like the one from the big three. You know, they're not like, well, I just hope everyone realizes now that the blood of Abraham's tail is legitimate and we should all follow, you know. Or like, no one ever wins an Oscar and is like, make sure you eat communion every Sunday. But there is a lot of like going to a higher power. So in kind of falling in line with Steve's point, I believe about in something. I definitely don't believe in afterlife. I just think there's a lot of mystical things going on.
Yeah, it's mystical.
He's a rapist.
Was he?
Yeah, Mystical's an asshole, man.
What happened?
I don't know. Fucking rapist.
I'm not hearing about this. Is this for real? Like, it was an allegation?
No, he like went to prison for
actually,
raping.
Actually, did one of the DJ of Different Styles allegation?
DJ allegation.
I just want to thank God for getting me out of prison on this rape charge. God is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God is great.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, man. I feel like it's one of those things. I'm like,
and Cole, okay, you're 100% no God, right?
I just, yeah, I definitely don't believe in one. But I also, I don't feel the need to tell people. Like, if I did something, I'd be like, look, like, this shit was all me, B. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have shit to do with God. Right. I worked my ass off for this. Now, fuck you. Like, I would not feel the need to do that. Whereas when people are like, I just want to say, like, you know, God helped us. Like,
we try to do is take, if we say the word God and then we try to relate that to our dumb brains.
Yeah.
It a person, and that's just.
Can I blow your brain actually with this? Think about this. The fucking, the people hey, that are yo. Like, hey, the people yeah. that are like, God believes in like our, like, God believes in our team, right?
Yeah.
They make so much more money than teachers. I'm like, what would God, your God, any God think about you making proportionally so much more than like the teachers that raise the people that like eventually give you money? Like, what are you doing?
Well, that, then I would argue with something like Steve said, you're trying to humanize something that's like, obviously, if there isn't.
Trying to not stupidize it. That's stupid. God is stupid.
I'll look at it this way. I read Albert Einstein's memoirs, who's arguably one of the most intelligent people about science, and he said definitively that there is a higher power.
Okay. I can't argue
so with people Albert. That. So people that crutch on the science argument should at least have a response for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a higher power. It doesn't mean that it speaks English and cares if you, you know, shoplift or something.
10,000% agree.
And my thing too is, it's like, all right, like, I mean, I definitely believe in evolution. Now, but that, to me, that doesn't mean that there isn't a God. Like, still shit started it from something.
Exactly.
What's your term
people
throw out?
Religious constructs.
No, I'm more opposed to the idea that there's an organism out there whose consciousness, like, keeps it out of the same rules that we're under. Like, you have to have, if there's like a physical manifestation of you anywhere, then you're subject to certain laws, right? Like a physics and shit like that. Like, you're not that, you're just as vulnerable as we are, kind of thing. So I'm like, there's nothing that's going to fucking save you. Like, if your life's miserable,
nothing's going to save you.
When you die, that whatever that creator was, like, it's not going to fix whatever happened. Like, that's all on you. That's how I feel.
1,000% agree. 1,000% right. agree.
Why do we? Yeah, I feel like we all
don't
agree.
Attribute it. I don't. Well, that's the thing. I think you guys are you haven't really said that. I just, you're kind of right. I immediately jumped to, I was like, oh, like, you're like, oh, I would be religious. I'm like, what religion would he be? What's wrong with that religion? Instead of just being like, all right, like, that's what he believes, and it makes sense to him.
Wait, what? You lost me there.
Chuck, were you feeling me on that at all?
I didn't follow how you pulled in religion to it. Because I will say this, I went to. I hate to throw my, I heard to throw a family member under it, so maybe I won't even say specifically what it was. But I
call them Little Feisty.
I went to Little. All right, so one of my relatives, Little Cheeses, has a recently born kid named Little Feisty. All right,
okay.
And Little Feisty was getting like water sprinkled on their head to be symbolic about some sort of religious proceeding.
Sure,
if you follow me.
Okay.
This shit felt like now knowing what we know about social media and about how the brain works, this shit felt like the biggest, like, most branding sort of marketing experience ever, where they're like, ooh, with this drop of water, you have now taken in the Holy Trinity of, like, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it was just like it literally was like, it reminded me of me telling my story about the Smith & Wesson show, where I was like, and then it was Helter Skelter, and then it was Buckshot, and then MOP came out.
Yeah.
I think that's the highest form of commerce, is selling an idea.
Ooh. Exactly.
Yeah, you're putting on a play at that point. You're right. Like, this is what we do. We put on this play every week.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think what it ultimately comes down to, and the point I was getting at earlier with like religion is,
we should apologize.
You know what?
To some
I mean, if it don't apply, let it fly. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And if it does insult you, like, we're not saying you're a bad person.
If you smelt it,
you dealt it. I think I wouldn't ascribe emotion to it. Like, human beings are not perfect. I think that's the thing.
Sure.
When humans are like, there's a perfectly balanced emotional being out there, I'm like, where the fuck are you getting that from? What are you basing that on?
Well, and what other logical thought restricts or like denies advancing the language it uses into current day. Like, what if they were like, oh, you want to learn physics? Well, heareth is an electron that cometh through and relate to the proton.
Yeah.
That's a very
like,
good
why are we stuck in the archaic language?
Why can't we?
They remake fucking movies when they're 10 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But there was an article in the Washington Post the other day. This study came out and scientists were like, it could be like 100, 150 years, but within like several decades, this planet will no longer be hospitable to human beings. They're like, there's like 18 thresholds. We've already crossed like 4 of them.
I read it. It was very depressing.
It's the kind of thing like when I see something like that, I'm like, yo, I almost thought I was watching like the Colbert Show. I was like, yo, this has to be made up.
Yeah.
So basically like Ryan, your daughter.
Yeah.
When she's...
I'm going to have to like teach her kung fu and like...
Yeah, but she'll have to actually at one point be like, should I have kids? Because like, we got to go to the moon now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're going to be
got
the
a condo on Mars.
Yeah.
They're putting a fucking In-N-Out burger.
It's going to suck. Right, I'm going to be telling her like, we used to have birds in the they used to be flying the sky. And she'd be like, really, Daddy? Yeah. A bird? Yeah. What's a bird?
You're like, for fuck's sake, we used to have 2 living beings like crawl around and be dependent on us. They're called cats. But Cole went and killed them all in the apocalypse.
What's the first thing like that you think you'll see completely disappear? Like, ooh, if you were throwing
like,
out,
it's got to be like it's going to be like fireflies or something crazy like that. Yeah. You know,
there's actually a book. It's about like bees disappearing. I think bee is the title or something like that. But it's ill like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually called It Bees Like That Sometimes.
It Bees Like That Sometimes. It's by Redman.
It's Keith Murray, but still.
Keith Murray.
The joke was not lost on you, which is...
It was good. I definitely thought it was Redman, too.
Who are you?
One.
Ascribe an emotion to it. We were just gushing about God, that's all.
We did good. You know, there's definitely a newsletter called Gushing About God somewhere.
Oh, really?
Somewhere in the world.
What state? Mississippi?
Arkansas.
Okay, we never really get into this, and I feel like we've kind of...
I'm not dissing any
states. We've kind of touched on Chuck with
Cole's
this
trying
one.
To diss some states here.
The idea of like southern people being different.
Uh-oh.
How many southern listeners do you think we have? I see what you see what Chuck's doing. I respect that.
Take his shorts off?
You remember once?
No, I was I was getting my wine so I could refill.
Damn, we don't have any alcohol.
That's the thing. I was gonna say. You remember once you're like, I'll murder you for a cigarette. I was like, I'll murder you for a fucking drink. You don't have that rum anymore. That's been had.
Gone.
That's been... You know what? I feel like you're kind of you're an undercover Chuck when you really get down to it.
If it's here, I'll drink.
Is that the clear line between alcoholism that you would actually allow the night to start without being prepared to drink if you wanted to? Because I grabbed a bottle of wine on the way home.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Usually, I know that I'll drink it if it's here, so I just don't stop and pick it up.
But then again, maybe that's me protecting myself from myself, is that I was like, I better get wine on the way home or I'm only going to drink bourbon tonight. Because I do have like a bottle of bourbon.
I don't feel like getting fucked up
on Tuesday. So a bottle of wine will kind of, I'm on glass number 2 of wine. It's nothing crazy.
I had a couple margaritas last night.
Okay.
And I fuck with margaritas.
And that's why you haven't slept?
Well, it was the kind of thing I was like, later that night, I was like, man, I had like... couple fajitas, like fucking like 3 margaritas. Like, why am I sweating now? Like,
you got a little feisty.
I did. But it was worth it. It was a while until around like noon.
Uh-huh.
I was like, all right, I could have another one. Before that, I was like, man, fuck those things.
Oh, true. You didn't have to work yesterday.
No.
Damn.
Today was dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I actually submitted the artwork and the audio for the 7-inch of the Cruel Fuel singles.
Oh, that's right. Nice. So you decided to go with the 7-inch.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look forward to it. I will purchase one.
No, because I'm giving one each to both of you guys because you were kind enough to buy it on iTunes as super listeners. But the other thing is January 30th at Velvet
Lounge.
What
songs? What songs again? I totally forgot. It's Post-Bathic Privateers.
You know, it's funny, like... I guess I should have put this to a Chrome Bills vote. A 7-inch, you can comfortably fit 6.5 minutes per side on that. That's not a lot. Like even
a couple songs.
So I was like, all right, if I want to, I can basically.
Even that feels aggressive, to be honest.
It does feel aggressive. The grooves are going to be smaller. One song on either side. Yeah, you're right.
Well, here's the thing, though.
What is the thing?
I was like, I could do instrumentals.
Okay.
But I could only pick one song. So wait, you wouldn't put 4 songs on it?
I would put one on each side.
Yeah, I would just do 2.
dude. The cover art is so dope because it's four panels.
That's cool, man.
And it's one
it's
of
not,
each.
Not the end of the world, you yeah. know?
I'll put out another one.
Yeah, why not?
Well, if you're doing instrumentals, you don't necessarily have
where are
to
you
play,
selling
the,
them?
Play the full
are you
version.
You sell the 70s.
It's something
shows?
To think about.
I feel
too.
Like online would be cool. I'm gonna
are you
going to
have them by the 30th?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to South by Southwest this year.
You're performing at South by Southwest?
I don't know, but I'm going to go check it out. I've never been down there, so I feel like it's
Yo,
the kind of thing I should
got
see.
I got a good friend who's performing at South by Southwest.
Okay.
I'm going to put you guys in touch.
Who's that?
Gas Lamp Killer.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
GLK. When are you getting that GLK interview?
Oh, shit. I need to ask him for an interview. I'm going to do that.
I mean,
I was watching the Stones Throw documentary, and he was on there. He was on, like, the he had, like, I don't know, 10 minutes of camera time on that thing.
Yeah. I'm a dog with a bone when it comes to interviews, man.
Yeah, you're good.
I've been chasing after Kokai. Kokai, we got to...
Can you tell me about Kokai?
He's... tell you what about him, Mike.
Why he's...
So when I first started going down to...
He's an engineer or MC?
No, he's an MC, but like, okay. He's like a Grammy-nominated musician.
Gotcha.
But when I first started going down to D.C. to freestyle, he was like one of the top three dudes, if not the best.
Okay.
So he's super ill. So we've been going back and forth about getting an interview because he's got a new album coming out, I think.
He's in QN5 now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was supposed to come out January 9th or what. Anyway, I want to hear the album. I really just want to do the interview so I can hear the album ahead of time because it's going to be dope.
Does he do production as well?
I think he does. I don't think he does strictly his own, but
okay.
He's known to make a beat or two.
I'm known to make a beat or two.
You guys want to listen
asking
to some
you
music
what
or
your
something?
Speakers
what do you
do?
Got?
Yeah, let's play a song.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Would you, Lil Wayne?
Okay.
Drake.
We never played that Gold Link song. I wanted to play like 6 months ago.
I'm
play
good
that.
On. The, I think I'm gonna pass on the Gold Link.
Fuck. Gold Link.
Is that turn up? That's turn up music, isn't it?
No, it's like it's fake Kendrick Lamar.
It's turn up. Gold all in my neck. Gold all on my watch.
No, it doesn't sound like that. That okay. I promise you. Oh, you know what you should play just for people that, at home that can laugh is the J. Cole song that you mentioned on the last episode that's like incredibly graphic about him having sex with the girl for the first time.
That's fine.
Yo, have we ever talked about the Exile album Radio, AM, FM?
No.
No, I've heard of it though.
Dude, this fucking album, it was such a crazy idea. Like he just recorded the FM channels, I think, in LA for like a certain amount of time and made an entire record based around that. I remember I was listening to it like a couple weeks ago. I was like, yeah, this shit was crazy. I was just going through what I had in Spotify.
Huh.
I feel like that shit was dope. People should check that out.
AM, FM?
Yeah.
All right. Any particular song?
Let's see.
All right, let's listen to Wet Dreams by J. Cole just for the for the comedic factor, and then we can listen to that other song. All right.
Cold.
The beat's kind of... The beat's like...
Yeah. Kind of flames, right?
Yeah.
Let me take y'all back, man. As I do so well. Wanting nothing like that. Man. It wasn't nothing like that first time. She was in my math class. Long hair, brown skin with the fat ass. Sat beside me, used to laugh, had mad jokes. The teacher always got mad, so we passed notes. It started off so innocent. She had a vibe and a nigga started digging it. I was a young and straight crushing, trying to play this shit cool. But a nigga couldn't wait to get to school. Cause when I seen them thighs on her and them hips on her and them lips on her, got me daydreaming, man, what? I'm thinking how she rides on it, if she sits on it, if she licks on it, make it hard for me to stand up. As time goes by, attraction's getting deepened. Wet dreaming, thinking that I'm smashing, but I'm sleeping. I want it bad, and I ain't never been obsessed before. She wrote a notice that you ever had sex before. Damn, and I ain't ever did this before, no. 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 I wrote back and said, of course I had sex before, knowing I was frontin'. I said, I'm like a pro, baby, knowing I was stuntin'. But if I told the truth, I knew that I'd get played out, son. Hadn't been in pussy since the day I came out one, but she don't know that, so she done wrote back and told me, oh, you a pro, homie? Well, I want you to show me. My mama gone for the weekend, so Saturday, baby, we can get the freaking. That's when my heart start racing and my body start sweating. Baby, you done woke my little man up. I'm thinking how that body look naked when you laying on the bed. Teacher, please don't make me stand up. I wrote back like, yeah, baby, sound like a plan. Still trying to play it cool, sound like the man. But I was scared to death, my nigga, my stomach turned. Talking shit, knowing damn well I was a virgin. Fuck. And I ain't never did this before, no. 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 You know that feeling when you know you finna bone for the first time. I'm hoping that she won't notice it's my first time. I'm hoping that my shit is big enough to fuck with. And most of all, I'm praying God don't let me bust quick. I'm watching pornos trying to see just how to stroke, right? Practice putting condoms on, how it go, right? I'm in a crib now, nigga, palm sweating. With a pocket full of rubbers and an erection. That's when my hands start touching and her face start blushing. And a nigga roll over on top. And then she get my pants unbuckled and her hands start rubbing on me. Ooh, girl, don't stop. It's time for action. Pull out the condoms real smooth, yeah, just how I practice. But right before I put it in, she flinched and grabbed it and said, I wanna get something off my mental. I can tell you a pro, but baby, be gentle, cause I ain't ever did this before, no. And 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 I ain't ever did this before, no.
We're back, Chrome Bills, episode 73. We're actually just talking about. I was making the point that depending on what age you were when you heard the song, I mean, I agree. It's super funny to me. It's super funny when I listened to it. It became twice as funny when you pointed out how fucking funny it is, too. When we were talking once, I was like, oh, yeah, that is really, really awkward when you think about it. But if you were like 18 and then just had sex for the first time, or 17 or 16 or whatever the fuck. Heads up, you'll be dropping some shit. That
what was that song called?
Come
Wet
Clean.
Wet Dreams. Ugh.
Oh, that song. I thought you were talking about the beat in the background.
Oh,
Come Clean.
This is Come Clean.
Is this a new song? Is this a new J. Cole song? J. Cole the Damager?
What?
Actually, that's not bad.
Oh, I want to talk about this. Actually, I'm going on, going on a complete tangent from the J. Cole. But my point was that if you were 18 or 35, it would sound very different.
Yeah.
I was watching this awful movie that has like Kate Upton in it and Cameron Diaz. It's called like The Other Woman.
Okay.
And they went into a bar and the fucking beat in the background is Tried by 12 with the rhymes on it.
No, it's not.
I had no idea that it had gotten to that level. It's like... The 9mm, it'll blow your dome. I'm talking about the toe tagging, nope, the body bagging.
Wow.
What?
Cameron Diaz got it. She put her foot down. She said, "Gotta, this is in the movie or I'm fucking out."
Is Cameron Diaz a hip hop fan?
I'm carrying the weight on this film.
I'm thinking Gwyneth Paltrow.
I haven't looked pretty since The Mask. What happened to her? She was so gorgeous in The Mask, and then everything after that, I was like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
Like a broomstick with cheeks.
She was in on one of those lists of like people you'd be surprised that knew each other in high school. And it's like her, she used to like buy pot from Snoop Dogg or some shit like that. Like they're the same age.
Yeah.
So maybe she's into hip hop, but even going and taking that leap. Like Tribe by 12.
Has she ever freestyled to
obscure,
Come Clean?
Yeah, exactly. Tribe by 12 is if you freestyle. And you're older than, like, say, 27, 28 years old. You know Tribe by 12.
Is Kate up to...
I feel like anybody could probably freestyle off of Tribe by 12 and sound pretty dope.
Was Kate up to Tribe Called Quest?
Nice. Agreed.
Yeah.
Can you freestyle to this?
Sure. Starting now?
Yeah.
You want a half a piece of gum? Come get some.
before I bite off the tip of my tongue and inhale deep from the breath of my lung. I used to sing, but now I call it sung. I used to order from a place called Chung's. They had Chinese food, but it tastes like dung. How do I know what dung tastes like? I don't know.
What's your face like when you're eating the dung?
Yeah.
Does it look like your nasal hair is about to get sprung?
It smells like a bum. Is that how you rap now? It's so fitting that Steve raps and the beat is in the background.
Yeah, you really.
I kind of fucked myself up. I was in a groove too.
Yeah.
I rhymed dung with chung.
Are there four verses on this?
Yeah. Yo, how do you splatter? Dung or the poo-poo platter? Your choice. You're looking at the waiter like, yo, whichever one is more moist. When I grab that mic, it starts to get static. Yo, get erratic. If somebody's gonna ask you after the poo-poo platter, you hit the bathroom. And that's what you do, walking around a restaurant with toilet paper on your shoe. Something to believe, that's a pet peeve, and I'm just joking on Steve. So styles I be speaking in, like January 30th, and I got jokes with a comedian. Like no one's believing him. Yo, and like now, I say seize begin.
Seize begin. I owe you money, it seize your friend. Probably not. I didn't pay you back on the loan. I knew the hook would come on, and it makes me moan. Or the four verses. It's per voice, like George's father, Ron Seinfeld, said. Yo, I treat rappers, smack them in the butt, they're not the golden goose. I make them hold the noose, then they're about to jump off of a cliff. You get the whiff, yo, you're not stiff, a Stifler's mom. So yo, just skip, yes, yeah, skip along. I skip your song when it comes upon it on the compilation, because your freestyle's lacking all the concentration that you need. You need a little bit more weed, and if it comes down to it, kid, you get skied. You're smoking on that blow, and everybody from the top to the bottom will know that you've got to go, cause you got the green light. K chromosome, it's Steve Bills, it's C's Mics, fucking up your whole party on January 30th. I got the dirtiest shit. I take a shit, you're like, damn, that's dirty. I'm like, fuck it, I'm out, y'all, early. I was the dude in Philly that would like go to your house and be like, early, and then leave.
Early.
Early.
Super early. But yo, it's never too early to bring a Newport. Saw John Wall in Brooklyn last weekend.
He's the fucking king of New York!
Okay, he did it up.
Huge grin. In 1 month, I saw two wins. One in Brooklyn, one in MSG. Chinese food. Yo, I don't want that MSG. Up here, there's no Comcast Sportsnet, but there's like three MSGs. So I start to bust watching Wizards in the Nets on MSG Plus. I'ma smile at ya. The other channel had the Rangers and Islanders going head to head. I'm putting heads to bed. Yo, I'm looking at the Super Bowl, make a spread. Cause right now it's a pick 'em. And put me in a freestyle like a pit bull. You say sick 'em, dig 'em. Where's the chorus at? You can't ignore the fact that I'm sorta fat. Yo, but I've been going to yoga trying to lose the weight, so get your crew straight.
Oh my God, we gotta write that down. That was vicious.
That was dope.
You can't ignore the fact. Sort of fat.
Yo. But yo, I can tell, Chuck, I'm glad there's not more than that, because you're working hard to get it all off. People say they don't drink in January, I scoff. They're getting tossed, they're not a boss. They lost like the TV show, but now you're watching the fair. I don't care. I like Stewie and Family Guy. Plus, I want to come in Lois's hair.
Whoa.
Fuck it.
Wow.
Whoa. Young kids, keep your pants on.
Yo. They always say she's sort of dope. I want to come to your crib, give you a sort of rope. I don't know, hang out with yourself, kill yourself. Your style's not working out for yourself. I hate when I go to movie theaters and people do this. Makes me want to raise a fist. Why do you insist that everybody be quiet? Put so much emphasis and then allow them to drink a Diet Coke out of a plastic straw. Yo, I go to the movies, it gets drastic, y'all. I'm telling little kids to shush. I'm telling old people, shush.
Yo, that'd be the illest chorus. I'm telling little
I'm telling old women, shush. I'm telling MC, shush. I'm telling MCs, roll up the kush, go vote for Bush. Hey, yo, it's a good look. pass it off to K Chromosome, give him a hook.
Yo, I'm picturing Steve doing this one, so it's like during the shush one, be like, make some noise and somebody say shush. Make some noise and somebody say shush. Make some noise and somebody say shush. This is my theory. We ain't at the library, yo. Make some.
Yeah, it's funny because it could
that
be called.
Good. That was
you,
pretty
you
good.
You nailed it too when he's like, we could call it shushed ones.
Yeah, shushed ones.
The shushed ones freestyle.
Featuring Little Feisty.
Yo, I can't yell. Oh,
you're fucked.
I almost got. I didn't yell. That wasn't that loud.
Oh man,
was that bad?
Oh shit!
I feel like when I take the headphones off, I wish listeners.
I'm telling co-host to shush.
Yeah, I'm telling the co-host.
I'm about to get shushed. What if your wife came down here?
She
like,
comes
shh.
Down. If she comes down here and shushes you, then it's a problem.
It's a full circle.
It might be a problem for all of us.
That's a problem.
I'm telling co-host to shush.
I'm telling all right, we co-host gotta wrap this up.
Shush.
We gotta wrap this up, fellas. Shout outs to Seshi. Chesky.
Just think of a chessboard and a key.
Okay, that's better. Chesky.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yes, thank you very much for taking time out of that to do the interview out of that show. Chuck, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, man.
You too. You know? Although you did purposely sit outside of the camera shot, if you can see it in the bottom on your side.
Oh, my bad.
It's just
dude.
Been me and Steve and your voice. Cole, can you give me parting shots on the games? We're coming off the NFC and AFC championship game.
I've
this will probably post before the Super Bowl, but I'm just curious. I know you're a diehard football fan. Kind of like give us your 60 seconds on the weekend.
I've been saying it for years now. McCarthy has cost Rodgers at least one other title. I think he's a fucking terrible in-game coach. It's cliche, but he played not to lose by taking the field goals. I could understand maybe the first field goal. The second one was like, dude, you have to be more aggressive than this.
Yeah.
Now, it's easy to say that Pete Carroll was the more aggressive and played to win, but it was like, yo, you'd probably fake a 48-yard field goal, too, if you were down 16-0. Like,
yeah.
It took balls, but, like, he had to be desperate. So I just felt like the Packers got completely outcoached. I don't think Carroll's a bad coach. I don't think he's a great one, but, I mean, it really does come down to it. That's why Fox is out of Denver. That's why Belichick, they fucking steamroll the Luck-coached Colts. The Colts are kind of a different team than they were the first time these guys played. It's the same fucking result. Same fucking result.
Yep.
So I think the coaching, that's the only reason I think the Patriots can stay in that game, because they'll be so well coached. And then Brady basically is a coach. The dude Collins on defense, he's their coach. I just think Seattle's the best defense I've seen. Part of me thinks that they're better than the Ravens defense of 2000 because the rules are so different now. But yeah. I realize that's apples and oranges. I don't remember seeing a defense.
They're
like,
pretty dominant.
It's unbelievable.
They're fucking dominant.
They're the first team since the 85-86 Bears to, in back-to-back years, lead the league in, like, I think it was points allowed and yards. Like, both of those things. And people are always like, the 85 Bears. It's like, dog, statistically, in this day and age,
yeah.
Like, those dudes could fucking literally, like, stab someone. Like, it's
a
spot foul,
too.
You know?
I'll give them that. In a tough division.
Yeah?
Like, the Bears were playing. That was the old school days. They were playing, like, the Bucks in the creamsicle shirts,
right?
Yeah, you could fucking
yeah.
A receiver comes over the middle there, and you can hit him before the fucking ball comes out. You know,
and for that reason, I think Seattle will win. I think Russell Wilson's very underrated. He had an awful game. I didn't even think Rodgers had that good a game until the end, where like they needed him on that last drive.
He's limping around, man.
Well, all right. So, all right. Let me ask. So, this is a classic hit. We all saw the game. Like, Chuck, do you think that the Seahawks won the game or the Packers lost the game?
Packers lost.
What do you think?
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
And I'll point to two things. One, like, there's like 3 or 4 minutes to go, not 10 seconds. Like, why did the dude kneel the interception down? Like, with no one around him. It's one thing.
Because he probably was worried about fumbling the thing.
No, but it's one thing to run up and slide.
He just went down.
Like, yeah. He just, like, straight up went down as if you're in a game where, like, 10 yards doesn't matter. There's still like 4 minutes left, you know? It was 16-7, right? At that point. And they threw the pick. It seemed pretty much over. And then they got it back because then the Packers went on to run the ball 3 times, burn 2 timeouts, kick it to Seattle who scored, and they never saw the ball again until
they
kicked
the thing
that
fucking frustrates me, and it comes back to like the idea of coaching. It was like there was one play, there was like 4 minutes left. They ran the ball twice, then on like 3rd and 12, they fucking threw it. It's like, dude, you're probably not going to, like, what kind of decision making is that?
Like I thought it came back to coaching. Like the guy sliding when he caught the interception. Now you see it in basketball all the time. They'll fucking call a timeout. They'll be like, "You do this. Go stand there."
Yeah.
And then like the whistle blows and the guy's like running in a circle. It's like, dude, like people fuck up. I get it. Like maybe that dude like hadn't listened to his coach, but a coach had to like. That's got to be situational football that gets coached.
Yeah.
Or just like. Maybe dude was that hype. Here's the thing for me, though. You know the craziest thing about that? I totally agree that that was a big fuck up. But for me, it still comes back to coaching where I'm like, look, like, how many times do you think someone turns the ball over four fucking times in a play in a home playoff game and still wins? Maybe more often than home. But I was just like, it's got to be less than 2%.
So it happened in the national champion in the college game.
Okay.
Did you watch the national championship game? No.
No. Okay. Should I have? Was the Oregon-Ohio State game, right?
Yeah.
Were you talking about the touchdown they scored where they were pouring it on?
I'm just saying that Ohio State turned the ball over like four times.
Okay. Yeah,
they still won the game.
Yeah. I don't, maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm
Anyways,
talking about.
No, you know what
Seahawks.
You know, yeah. All right, Seahawks it is. Chuck.
Chuck, where are you at with that?
I do want to say this before I give a prediction. So you always hear that I think it's the New York Post is the one that's like always got the real witty headlines. And the stuff's going on about the whether or not the balls were deflated in the Pats Colts game, and today's headline was a picture of Belichick and Brady, and then a flat football, and it said, "NFL squeezes Patriots balls."
That's funny.
That's fucking really awesome. Funny.
Thought that was
you
good.
Need that. I feel, with all the shit that happened in France.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when it comes to, like, having, like, a cheekier side of journalism, you need that.
You do.
I almost took a picture of it and sent it to you guys, because in my head, right when I saw it, I was like, hey, yo.
That's pretty off there. That's good. All right, y'all.
Good shit tonight.
Definitely.
I got my notes. I'm going to take them to a movie theater and type them up.
Crinkle them up.
By speaking them into my phone.
Shush.
You ain't a shushed one.
Chuck, no, nobody thinks you've gotten fat, just so you know.
This is a nice run, though.
It's a note. What did you say? It's an. How was the rhyme? What was the rhyme scheme?
People. What did I say? That people ignore the fact that I've gotten
don't
sort of fat.
The can't ignore the fact that I'm sort of fat. But it was like coming on the tail end of something else dope, and then he took it to another level. Yeah.
I got talked into freestyling in a car on the way home on Friday night, and my friend Rashid, that's in my band, was driving, and he's like. His dad's from Nigeria, and his mom is from Minnesota, and he's like half black, half white. And I was like, my freestyle is causing lots of drama. And Rashid, you know, he looks like Barack Obama. And that was like the one line that people really hung on to from like my little 3-minute freestyle on the ride home. I was like, I got the same text from two people that were in the car with just that lyric. I was like, oh, okay,
that's dope.
January 30th, Velvet Lounge. Holler at us.
Or beforehand.
Or before that.
ChromeBills@gmail.com. Oh, we're on Facebook, on Twitter.
Cents.
I put up a post today.
You cashed in?
I cashed out my ChromeBills stock.
The $1.27?
I got one French fry.
Haven't got a phone call in a while. 612-888-3433. Hit me up. I'm lonely.
People keep showing up at my doorstep. I'm like, just call. But I have a question about minute 12. Did you get the...
What was the instrumental on minute... I don't know, man.
Did you... There was somebody you were like, we'll shout him out on the next show.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Averill.
Very good. I think it was Corey Averill.
Yeah. He's listening. He's got some very like detailed feedback.
No, it was... No, his name was Arnell Corey.
I think that's right. Oh, one was we got this and it said user 530-788-188. Likes one of your sounds.
Shout
I forwarded it to Steve and he goes, such a biter of 530-688-187 style.
Wow, that's fucking dope. That's hysterical.
Do you even remember sending that response?
Yeah, I think so.
So knee jerk. Some of our shit is so knee jerk that it's like I'd do it in 2 seconds, so
mm-hmm. All right. Shout out to Ron Geronimo.
Ron Geronimo.
Cuffing the mic. Shout out to Brian Hickey.
Who are you? Ron wants to come on and talk about cereal.
All right, so here's I'll actually ask this question,
like a
right?
Muppet
so
character.
No spoilers.
You want us to believe that you're
No spoilers. Well, yes, okay, ma'am. Spoiler alert, because we're probably going to get into spoilers, so turn it off. Do you, now that you've gotten several weeks away from cereal,
yeah,
what's your give a fuck factor at on a scale of 0 to 10?
About what, his freedom?
Just everything about the story. Even being excited when people talk about it.
Oh, that's way down. When I first was listening to it, I was literally bringing it up to people. Like, just random people. I think I went
to... How well did you have to know them to bring it up?
No, I went to a party. It was, like, Morgan's coworkers, and I was like, so is anybody listening to Serial? Like, just hoping that somebody had listened to Serial, and nobody had.
Were you mad disappointed?
Yeah, I was like, fuck, man. It's the most popular shit ever.
Yeah. Well, to Chuck's point, how do you feel about it now? Are you thinking about it?
No, I'm not thinking about it.
When he brings it up, you're like... I mean...
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Is it not wrong?
Was it not wrong for me to say that this is incorrect? What?
You know what I thought?
Is it not wrong if this is incorrect? You're like, what? What did you say? Yes or no? Ask me a yes or no.
Yeah.
Well, I remember.
Is it not correct for me to assume that this is wrong? What? What did you say?
Not making sense right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel like the narrator too. Like, she'd start throwing at you, like, Pam's my assistant. I don't think Pam's very focused today. Like, she said some shit like that. I was like, yo, like, Dan, like, fucking rather didn't, like, talk shit about the camera, man. What are you doing?
My production assistant is quite gassy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit.
We had bean burritos, like, on the ride out to Woodlawn to the Best Buy.
Right.
It was a long ride. We opened up the window. That might have shaved a minute off of our drive.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, when you get to talking to people and they're like, they don't know what details about their day to leave out. I'm like, we're not... you literally could talk for 24 hours about what you did today. Like,
Cole was slower today. He hadn't slept in 72 hours.
Oh, man. I might fall asleep on in like the fountain that's outside of the building where I live.
Yo, that's not really a fountain.
Where were you, Cole, from 5 to 5:19 on Friday?
Oh, now we're talking.
This past Friday?
Yes.
He's testing it.
No, the Friday before this aired.
Last week. What,
that would make it even more Friday? Confusing.
Last Friday, or what will I be doing this Friday? I think we're having like a flash forward moment.
AT&T says.
What's that?
No, what would be awesome is if, okay, Chuck, what did you do the day after Christmas? Exactly.
Smoked.
Oh, I bet you I can pull it.
Come
All
on.
Right, so I remember I had my mom staying at my place, and then I had one day. Before my dad came, so I had one night where it was just me. My girl was traveling. I can pull it. Got shit-faced. Wow. In Astoria, Queens. And I can tell you a lot about that night, too.
Wow.
I can even pull, like, an Uber receipt coming home at, like, probably 4 o'clock in the morning.
Who did you meet up with?
Just one of my boys that lives out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the intention was to get after it.
Went to, like, 3 bars. Went to a hookah bar. Look at that. Take that, Adnan.
Adnan.
Are you guys going to need to get out of my house?
I'm not actually there.
Cole and Chuck are my assistants. They're not listening right now. Thanks for listening. Please share with your friends and enemies.
All right, peace.
Were you stepping out?
Chuck, I'll holler at you later on, man.
Were you stepping out?
Yes, sir. Do you know what stepping out means? Yes, ma'am.
Did I not say that you won't do that?
Could you please repeat the question?
By the way, can the
I
last...
I like how like the it becomes like a spelling bee, you know? The cross-examination becomes a spelling bee.
We could have... You know what? That would be kind of dope. Spelling beef. Is it give a spelling bee that turns into a brawl?
Spelling beef.
I feel like we could have like short little like animated things to promote Chrome Bills.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this young can't... This Bama can't even spell vivarium.
Use vivarium. It in a sentence. I can't.
All right,
Chuck. Sorry.
Yep. Peace.
All right, fellas.
Peace.
Chrome Bills, 73.
I turned 73 today.